Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. Thankful that the Lord has brought you to tune into our program, to the message. And today I'll be preaching from Galatians chapter 3. I'll begin at verse 6 of Galatians chapter 3. And the title of the message is The Gospel Abraham Believed. The Gospel Abraham Believed. And the reason I wanted to go there is that's the Apostle Paul in this passage, as he often does, goes back to Abraham as one of the best examples of a believer, a sinner saved by grace. He's brought up Abraham before in the book of Romans. He essentially does the same thing when he's talking about how a sinner is justified before God. Now, you need to understand what it means to be justified before God. Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verse 33 or maybe verse 34. I can't remember the exact reference. But Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." Now, justification is a legal matter. It has the connotation of being judged by God, who is the supreme judge of all things. It's like a person standing before a judge at the court. And based upon the evidence given, that judge is either going to pronounce that person guilty or not guilty. And that's what justification is. And in that passage in Romans, let me just go over there so I'll make sure I have the right reference in Romans chapter 8. Here it is, it's verse 33 of Romans 8. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Now, have you ever been charged with anything? Charged with a crime? Charged with a misdemeanor? Maybe you've gotten pulled over for speeding or something like that. Well, he mentions God's elect here. Now, I know people don't like to talk about the elect or election, but my friend, it's a Bible doctrine. And what he's saying here, whoever these elect are, in Romans 8:33, God doesn't lay any sin to their charge. It's God that justifies. Now, did you hear that? Most people, when they think of election, they think of the Jewish nation under the Old Covenant, because they at some point were referred to as God. God chose them and put them under that covenant. But that was a temporary thing. That was an earthly, temporal, ceremonial, national covenant. And in and of itself now, it had nothing to do with the salvation of a sinner. Salvation came through the Jews because Christ was born of the Jews according to the flesh. But that's all in Christ, and that's not according to the terms of the old covenant. Now, I don't want to confuse you here, but I just want you to kind of see where I'm going with this. Salvation is according to the terms of the everlasting covenant of grace, not the old covenant law of Moses. That was a conditional covenant which failed because the Jews failed. So would we have failed. We're sinners. And that's why that covenant was given, or one of the reasons. But so when many people, when they talk about election or the elect, they think, well, you're talking about the Jews. But that's not who Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 8. in this Roman church, there were both Jews and Gentile believers. And he's referring to all believers here. Many people today think about election this way. They say, well, God elected everybody, and it doesn't really kick in for salvation until you elect him. My friend, that is anti-biblical. The Bible doesn't teach that. A sinner does not become one of God's elect by believing. A sinner who is God's elect will believe, and that gives evidence of his election. Now, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to go out and say, well, now I've got to look at that person and I've got to determine, is he elect or he's non-elect? That's not my business. That's not your business. That's God's business. But I do know this. Here's what the Scripture teaches. That if I'm chosen of God before the foundation of the world and given to Christ, I'll listen to the gospel, I'll hear it, and I'll believe in him. And that's all I need to be concerned with. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your only hope of salvation, of being justified, of being righteous? So he says in verse 33 of Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. And upon what basis does God justify the elect? Sinners saved by grace. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now go back to Galatians 3. See, what he's talking about is, whoever he's talking about here, they cannot be charged with sin because Christ died for their sin. Christ was charged. Their sin, the debt of their sin, was imputed to Christ. And he died and drank damnation dry and secured their salvation. But we learn also in the Bible, and this goes all the way back to Genesis, but it's illustrated here in Abraham, who believed God, that justification before God not only means that I'm not guilty and cannot be charged with the debt of my sin so as to be condemned because Christ died and is risen again, I'm also declared righteous before God. Now that's important. How am I declared righteous? Well, just as my sin debt was imputed, charged to Christ, his righteousness, the merit of his obedience unto death is charged to me. Imputed righteousness. Now, the reason that's so important, especially here in the book of Galatians, there are a lot of people who say, well, Christ died for my sins, but I have to work hard to make myself righteous. And that's a denial of Christ. The reason he was raised again from the dead is because he established righteousness imputed to his people. Well, the example of Abraham shows that. Now look at Galatians 3:6. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or imputed or charged to him for righteousness. Now, what was imputed, accounted, or charged to Abraham for righteousness? Well, a lot of people, when they read verses like that, they think, well, that's talking about Abraham's believing. As if something like this, because we're not perfect, we cannot measure up to the perfection of righteousness, so therefore God accepts our believing in the place of righteousness. That is not what that scripture teaches. Now remember what it said there in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. It was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. What is the it? If you can remember going to school and learning English grammar, that word it is a pronoun, and it has an antecedent. Now, what does that mean? I'm not just throwing big words at you. Well, if I say he went to the store, who is the he there? Or if I say she went to the ball game, who is the she? What person does it refer to? Well, it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. What is that it? Well, over in Romans 4, he shows us in Galatians 3, but over in Romans 4, he explains it perfectly by using David, King David, as an example. He quotes here in Romans 4 from Psalm 32, and it's Romans 4 and verse 6. He talked about Abraham. It's counted to Abraham for righteousness. Verse 6 of Romans 4, listen to this. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now when did David say that? Back in Psalm 32 and verse 1 and 2, he talked about, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. David is talking about the non-imputation of sin. God doesn't charge me with my sin. I'm a sinner. If God ever gave me what I deserved or what I've earned, it would be eternal damnation. But God doesn't charge me. Now, how can He do that and still be just? He charged my sin to Christ, who is my surety and my substitute. How do I know that He did that for me? Because I believe in Him. That's the evidence. I rest in Him. I follow Him. I plead His blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And thereby, having not charged me with my sin and charging them to Christ, He charged me with the righteousness of Christ. I stand before God in a righteousness that I had no part in producing because I cannot produce one. God will not accept anything less than perfect righteousness. And that applies to Abraham and everyone who's like Abraham, who believes the same gospel that Abraham believed. It's the righteousness of God. And that righteousness, listen, it can never be taken away. That's what Christ said. It can never be corrupted. It can never be changed. It is eternal. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, here, go back to Galatians chapter 3. He's talking about Abraham. Abraham believed God. Well, what did Abraham believe? Well, it says in verse 7, it says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Now last week I talked about the hearing of faith. That's the gospel. They who believe the gospel, that's those who are of faith. It's not talking about just somebody who believes something or believes anything, no matter how sincere they are. The unbelieving Jews, they believed God would save them because they were Abraham's children, because they were circumcised, because they thought they kept the law of Moses. That's a lie. A person can sincerely and religiously believe a lie. So when he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How are they the children of Abraham? Well, children of Abraham is a way of expressing the body of true believers. Because Abraham is a prime example of how God saves sinners, how God justifies the ungodly, how God brings sinners to faith in Christ. And that's what Abraham believed. How do you know? Look at verse 8. He says, and the Scripture, that's the written Word of God, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, and that faith is the promise of God. It's justification based on the blood and righteousness of Christ. That's what faith is here. What is your faith? You say, well, I believe that I made the decision and God saved me based upon that decision. Well, that's not the faith of Abraham. That's not the faith that the Scripture set forth. That's not God-given faith. That's just natural to man. Justify the heathen. That's the Gentiles, not just the Jews. Through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, that goes back to Genesis chapter 12, when God first called Abraham out of idolatry. And Abraham, as the Bible says, Abraham was justified based upon the righteousness of the Messiah who was to come. Abraham looked forward. Christ said that in John chapter 8. He told the Pharisees, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham believed the gospel. It's the same gospel that believers today believe. The difference was Abraham looked forward into the future by promise to the coming Christ who would establish righteousness for him by putting away his sins. We who believe today, we look back at the event accomplished. But it's the same gospel. And that's what he's saying here. And he's using the covenant that God made with Abraham as recorded in Genesis chapter 12. To indicate that, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In other words, what Abraham heard, what Abraham believed by God-given faith now, Abraham was a sinner saved by grace. This is nothing to give glory or boasting rights to Abraham. He was called out of idolatry by God. He was saved by God's grace. He was justified by the imputed righteousness of Christ, and he was given spiritual life by the Holy Spirit in the new birth, just like believers today. And so when Abraham was called out of there, God gave him the promise, and there were a lot of different promises given to Abraham. Some of them were temporal, some of them were earthly and ceremonial. That applied to the Jewish nation under the old covenant, which would come later on. But some of those promises were eternal. Spiritual promises given to spiritual Israel, all of God's elect, chosen before the foundation of the world, redeemed by the blood of Christ, and eventually to be called, born again and called by the Holy Spirit. Some of them applied to that, to eternal salvation and final glory. And so when he says, in thee shall all nations be blessed, what's he talking about? He's talking about Christ would come and fulfill all righteousness in his death, burial, and resurrection for God's chosen people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. How many times is that statement used in the Bible? In Revelation, for example, God has a people out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And if you'll jump across the page there to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, what he's talking about there is those who are in Christ, chosen by God in Christ, redeemed by the blood of Christ, justified by his righteousness imputed, born again and called by the Spirit in Christ. He says in Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, that's Gentile. There's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and if you be Christ, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, offspring, spiritually speaking, and heirs according to the promise. What's the promise? The promise of eternal salvation and glory by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look back at Galatians 3 and verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, that's an amazing statement. Those who are of faith. Am I of faith? Well, do I rest in Christ for my whole salvation? The beginning of it, the middle of it, the end of it? Am I, like Paul, persuaded that Christ is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day? Do I believe and know that I'm a sinner, fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, born dead in trespasses and sins, that if left to myself, I would have never chosen the right way of salvation? Do I see that I don't have anything to recommend me unto God? That if God were to judge me based upon my best efforts to obey Him, I would be damned forever? Do I see that Christ is my only hope of salvation, my only hope of forgiveness of all my sins, my only hope and assurance of being justified, being righteous before God, my only hope of eternal life and glory? Or do I look elsewhere? Do I look within myself or to myself? Do I look to my church, my denomination, my activity, my will? Do I look to my will to save me? No, it's God's will, not my will. And so that's those who are blessed with that. If that's what you truly believe, then you're blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham's your brother. Abraham, and you're his brother or sister. Look at verse 10 of Galatians 3. Now he gives the opposite here. He says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. In other words, if you're seeking salvation and blessings and righteousness by works of the law, you're still under the curse. That's your state before God. Why is that? All right, read on. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Underscore that term, all things. What's that mean? Well, the law simply says this, do and live. Well, how much do I have to do? All of it. That's what the law requires. The law requires perfect righteousness. But when it comes to a sinner, as we are, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the law will not loosen its requirements. It will not lower its standard. I'll never forget one time having lunch with a gentleman and we got to talking about this particular subject, a lady who had died. And he told me this. He said, I know she's saved because she has done that which is required. And I asked him, I said, well, what is required for salvation? And he looked sort of puzzled and he said, you know, I'm really not sure. And I said, why aren't you sure? And he said, well, because different preachers, different denominations, they say one thing, they say another, and I'm kind of confused on that issue. And I told him, I said, well, let me tell you exactly what is required for salvation. And he said, what? And I said, righteousness. He said, righteousness. I said, yes. Perfect, unscathed, uncontaminated righteousness. And he looked, his eyes got big, and he looked at me and he said, but nobody can do that. And I said, that's right. And that's why salvation is by grace through the righteousness of another, imputed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not by works. You see, that's what the law says. The false gospel of work salvation requires sinners to do something to earn, to attain, or maintain salvation. But the true gospel of God's grace is a message that says it's all done. It's all finished by Christ. Somebody says, well, then are we not to do anything? Oh, yes, we're to believe, we're to follow Him, we're to fight sin, but not in order to become righteous, not in order to be right with God, not in order to attain or maintain salvation. Christ has already done that. Well, that's what it says. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11 of Galatians 3, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just shall live by faith. This is the third time probably that Paul quoted that from the book of Habakkuk. The justified shall live by faith. Well, if the law requires perfection, then it's evident that you and I cannot be justified, be declared not guilty, be made righteous, be made right with God by works of the law. The justified, whoever they are, like Abraham, like those who are blessed with faithful Abraham, those who believe the gospel Abraham believed, they're justified by faith. Now, what is it to be justified by faith? It does not mean, now listen to me, I'm not just splitting hairs here. It does not mean justified by our believing. It means justified by Christ. That's what the faith is. Believing just gives evidence of being justified by His blood and righteousness. That's what the Bible teaches. So He says, verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, the law shows a sinner the perfection it requires, but it cannot provide that perfection for the sinner. The law can, and the law is not of faith. In other words, faith teaches that salvation, justification before God, is by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law doesn't do that, see. The law simply says this, do and live, period. Disobey and die. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things. Do and live, disobey and die. The law doesn't require you to believe it. The law requires me and you to do it. And we can't. The wages of sin is death. But he says in verse 13, now here's another thing. Here's the gospel that Abraham believed. Christ hath, this is verse 13 of Galatians 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now the first thing we need to understand is that redemption, which is the paying of the sin debt, the price, is only found by the person and work of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, God in human flesh. He came under the curse, being made a curse for us. How was He made a curse? By the imputation of the sin debt to Him, the sin debt of His people. So, Christ hath redeemed us. Now, who is the us here? Being made a curse for us. That's God's elect. That's His people. That's those who are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those who believe what Abraham believed. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.